This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, June 24th, the solemnity of the birth of St. John the Baptist. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and on the Relevant Radio app. Happy feast day of St. John the Baptist as we honor his birth in the Universal Church. Our very own Father James Kubicki will be with us next hour to help us understand the astounding events surrounding the conception and the birth of St. John the Baptist. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Brendan Lyons, the associate editor of the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly, a Catholic dad, and the author of a pro-life children's book, I Can Hear the Music, who will discuss the issue of life with children. We'll also chat with Becca Sire, the president of Young Catholic Professionals in Chicago, who will share with us about the mission and the great work that they are doing, this organization, Young Catholic Professionals. A little bit later in the hour, we'll talk about money with Danielle Bean, the branch manager at CatholicMom.com, who will give us five personal finance rules for everyone. We'll also have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and more coming up here in this hour on Morning Air. But we begin each hour, every day, every morning, by giving thanks to the good Lord for all the many blessings that we receive every single day, always asking through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, in this year of Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We always, every morning, invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as you just heard moments ago, as Glenn reported at the top of the hour, we also need to pray this morning for all the people involved in the condo collapse of that 12-story building down in the Miami area and all the survivors that have been taken to the hospital. At least one child was pulled from the rubble. So we pray in a very special way that there are no more deaths and that everybody is going to be okay. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from 2 Timothy 4:7. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved him. The Apostle St. Paul uses the language of sports and athletics in several of his epistles. Paul visualized our life as a marathon, not a sprint. We must go the distance, just like world-class marathoners, and finish the race. If we run for the Lord and stay faithful, if we love Jesus, then we will reach our ultimate finish line. Heavenly paradise with Jesus the Lord, the merciful judge, our Blessed Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, Saint John the Baptist, and all the saints. Jesus, I trust in you. Now we're going to talk about an issue that I'm passionate about, the issue of defending life. I believe that it's the most important human rights issue of our time because it's the most fundamental issue. There's no other issue to talk about. There's no other right to talk about. No other rights matter if we don't get this right. Now, how can we teach even small children about the dignity of the human person, especially in the womb? Well, one way is through books, through literature. And the question is, where do we go? Where can we find books with an authentic pro-life message. Joining us to share a book that he wrote is Brendan Lyons, the associate editor of the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly for the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Brendan is a Catholic husband and father and the author of a pro-life children's book called I Can Hear the Music. Good morning, Brendan. Welcome to Morning Air. Great to be with you this morning.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about your book, tell us a little bit about your work and also your love of music.
I've been playing music ever since I was a small child. As long as I can remember, really, I've been into music. And I started in elementary school playing music. And my wife is a musician, too. It's really a family affair. So it kind of permeates our lives. So, it seemed natural that when I was going to approach the pro-life subject, I would bring music in as well. So the book itself is really an introduction to music for a kid who isn't even born yet. And I was really excited to bring that to small children, because I think they can understand that concept you talked about of it being the key human rights issue, because they can understand human.
Without a doubt. And how did this develop? Having this love of music with your wife, with your family, how did you take that love and then connect it with the issue of life?
Well, yeah, as any new father does, I think I wanted to try to learn as much as I could about what was going on. And so I was doing research on development, and I was really thrilled to find out just how early on a baby can hear both music and also can hear me. I didn't realize that halfway through gestation a baby can start to hear things outside the womb. So and not only that, but that baby will remember it afterwards. Really early on.
So we're talking around around 4 months, 4.5 months.
Yes. Yeah. About between 20 and 24 weeks is when they really start to hear things outside. And one of the reasons that was so exciting for me is because my father always read us the night before Christmas, on the night before Christmas, of course. And my daughter was going to get to 24 weeks on the night before Christmas. So I got to read to her, at the start of when she could hear me, which is just an amazing feeling.
That's so fascinating to hear. It reminds me, a friend of mine reminded me that even though English is my first language, I'm bilingual, I also speak Spanish. She reminded me that when I was in my mother's womb, I actually heard Spanish from my parents from Colombia as inside the womb and as a tiny baby. So yeah, I totally can relate.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I hope to consider, encourage with this book is, not only mothers talking, but mothers with small children who, this book is about the age for preschoolers. The small children, they can read that book as well alongside, their growing sibling, and that growing sibling is going to hear their voice and remember it. So it's a great opportunity to start bonding long before you get to meet face to face.
Tell us a little bit about the book. Paint a picture of what the book is like. I Can Hear the Music.
Yeah, I Can Hear Music is really aimed to be a kind of a journey through the early life of the child, learning told through the lens of hearing. So you're going to get, it's a nice little children's book. You'll get to see the little child singing in the womb along with the music outside, but it also introduces, at 20 weeks, 24 weeks, you can start to hear lower instruments. I was a bass player, a tuba player, so that was pretty exciting for me. And then they can hear the whole choir by about 32 weeks. So not only that, but my wife was a cantor, so being able to hear the full range of music, that's pretty exciting for her. But also the fact that children will remember certain things after they're born. And, because my wife was a cantor, she actually sings a couple places. And one of the songs you always do is the Sanctus. And two of the churches have the same Sanctus. So my daughter would kick in the womb when we got to that part, which is, that's fairly normal. Baby hears something, baby moves. But after she was born right into a pandemic. So we were watching Mass at home at the time. And, you know, baby's generally not super engaged, but when the Sanctus came on over the TV, this baby who, you know, barely moved at all, suddenly was craning her neck to see where that was coming from. And she did it every time. She remembered the Sanctus, which, hey, that's a pretty good song to remember from the womb.
How do babies generally react to music from what you've seen?
Well, you know, my daughter Marielle just absolutely loves it. You know, she was moving in the womb. She's dancing outside the womb. You know, it's funny. And I've seen this with a couple of my niece likes to kind of dance too, but they just kind of bop to the music or, you know, sway. And it's very clear that they're engaged in what's going on, and they're loving it.
Now, your book is written at a very basic level. You're trying to reach very young children. Talk a little about who you ideally are trying to reach and the way, the style in which the book is written.
Yeah, well, I originally wrote it with with pregnant moms in mind, so that it would be kind of like a cute gift at maybe like a baby shower, so that they could see it. You know, they knew they could read to the baby still in the womb. And then when the baby was born, they would have another book that was appropriate for a very young child. But my illustrator, Missy Johnson, she actually had another idea. She thought that it would be a great gift for women at pregnancy care centers. You know, something that they could take with them after maybe getting an ultrasound, getting that literal look inside the womb. They could then take this figurative look inside the womb home with them as something to remind them and something to, you know, share with their child, which I thought was just a great idea. So
That sounds like a fascinating idea. We're joined by Brendan Lyons, Associate Editor of the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly and the author of a wonderful pro-life children's book, I Can Hear Music. Brendan, let's talk about those folks that you're trying to reach, those moms, the pregnant moms and these pregnancy centers, especially the pregnancy centers. The pregnancy centers do such incredible work, and there's thousands. There's about 3,000 across our country, so that's a great potential of audience for you to reach with your book.
Yeah, and that's, you know, those are the people that I think, I mean, you know, not only do they need someone to reach out to them, but also, you know, they are really, they are very happy to get a book. I have a couple pregnancy centers I already have worked with, and the feedback has been, it's really been just great. You know, people love to have that book to take with them to, you know, read to the baby in utero, have the, you know, read to the baby when they're born. And it's, you know, it's a great, I think, and I've gotten great feedback that it's a great connection, you know, between mother and child.
You've received feedback from moms. How have the children reacted?
Well, you know, I think children just, you know, will love to read with their parents in general. And the pictures themselves, you know, they are very engaging. It's lots of fun. You know, there's notes everywhere, and there's, you know, people playing instruments. And I know my daughter really likes it. She likes any book more or less, but she kind of takes it and runs over to the corner and flips through. it's gone over very well with the children too. So I'm happy to say it's hitting the mark.
Brendan, what do you hope to accomplish with this wonderful book, I Can Hear Music?
Well, you know, I really want to just do my part in translating or in sharing the dignity of the unborn, because that's something that I think that start to finish, people can understand. You know, even little children can understand that, you know, this other person deserves to be, you know, treated as well as I want to deserve. It's really, you know, it kind of comes down to the golden rule. And all we have to do is really teach people that just because you can't see that person, that person's in the womb, that person can hear you and experience you and experience their life long before we get to experience them. So that's, you know, that's really what I want to share with people.
How are you planning to go ahead and achieve this mission of getting this book out there?
So for other for a couple pregnancy, well, first of all, I mean, anybody who would like to buy it can find it pretty much anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. For pregnancy care centers, I've mostly been working with groups that support them. Out in California, I was working with a Knights of Columbus group to provide some copies. Out here, and I live in Pennsylvania, so out here near Philadelphia, some individual supporters of one of my local pregnancy groups bought some copies to hand out. So, you know, I'm really happy to work with people who are already out there, you know, supporting these pregnancy centers. So what I do is I offer them, they can get it for half the normal price. And that's actually something I'm willing to work with people on too, because I really want to share this more than anything.
Brendan, working with the Knights of Columbus is a tremendous opportunity because the Knights have this ultrasound outreach. They've provided literally thousands of ultrasound machines to these pregnancy centers across the country. And as soon as a mom sees the image of that baby, they know that is their baby. That is not just a glump of cells, but it truly is her baby.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the reasons that I reached out to them. I actually, the first person I reached out to in the California Knights of Columbus group was in charge of the ultrasound program, because I really wanted this to be seen as something that builds off of that. You know, you can see that child, and that's so gripping, and you can take that ultrasound home with you. You can also take this, you know, this book home with you to see, okay, you know, that was that moment. The baby's going to grow, the baby's also going to hear and learn. So I kind of see it as a supplement to that sort of idea. You know, there's nothing more gripping than actually seeing that your baby is there and knowing that they're experiencing you as you experience a pregnancy.
And I think it's also a really good feeling to know that science is on the pro-life side. Those ultrasounds, yeah, they tell the absolute truth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's irrefutable. You see that child, you see that child moving, you see that child responding to you, and you feel that child responding to you, and you just get this, you can't ignore the fact that there's just this continuum of life from the moment that baby's in there all the way until death.
How does your book, I Can Hear Music, how does that tie in with your day job as associate editor of the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly?
Well, you know, I guess it's a question of bioethics, really. You know, we look at the truth of, you know, of what's going on in the womb, and, you know, you put that beside the truth of what we know about Christ, and you can't deny that child has to be protected. You know, and a lot of what I do is try to help me and my, you know, the rest of the staff. We try to, the publication staff, we try to help people who are trying to translate truths through ethics and medicine, and we try to help them translate that to the public, you know. So this is a very, very targeted towards youth project that's very, very similar to that idea, trying to get that idea over, which can be a very big truth, into a very simple to understand.
Well, Brendan, I commend you for your heart for the issue of life and for children and pregnant moms. Again, you can find Brendan Lyon's book, I Can Hear Music, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Brendan, thanks so much for being with us here on Morning Air.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you. Brendan Lyons, the associate editor of the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly and the author of the pro-life children's book, I Can Hear Music. We're going to take a short time out. When we come back, Becca Sayer, the president of the Young Catholic Professionals in Chicago, will talk to us about the mission and the work of Young Catholic Professionals. Stay with us. We're just warming up this morning. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
26 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Danielle Bean, the brand manager at CatholicMom.com, will share her five personal financial rules that are good for everybody. And we'll have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and more here in this hour on Morning Air. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, in this year of St. Joseph, we're taking a closer look at his life and specifically the way that St. Joseph worked. He was a simple carpenter that reminds us of the importance of stillness and prayer in the middle of our work. St. Joseph is actually the patron of young Catholic professionals. Have you ever heard of this organization, this national organization? And now joining us to talk about young Catholic professionals is Becca Sire. Becca is the president of Young Catholic Professionals Chicago Chapter. She's also the director of campus ministry at UIC, the University of Illinois at Chicago. She loves Jesus, Broadway musicals, chips, and guac in that order. Good morning, Becca. Welcome to Morning Air for the first time. It is a joy to be with you.
Good morning. Yes, thanks. I love my bio always makes me crack up, but it's all the joys in life.
You're making me hungry here at breakfast time. Well, tell me, Becca, tell us a little bit about this extremely interesting organization, this national organization, Young Catholic Professionals. Tell us about the group and their mission.
Yeah, so Young Catholic Professionals are often referred to as YCP. Is a national organization. It was founded back in 2010 by a young adult woman named Jennifer Baugh, and now there are 23 chapters all over the United States in different cities, such as Dallas, Phoenix, Cleveland, and here in Chicago, for example. And really the mission of YCP is to challenge, train, and inspire young adults working in various different professions to work and witness for Christ, which is our motto. So YCP really brings together young adults in their 20s and 30s for monthly events to do three specific things: foster Catholic identity, encourage community, and inspire action. And we do that through a variety of different events.
Why do you feel that an organization like Young Catholic Professionals is so important in this day and age, especially to reach our young people?
Yeah, so I would say right now, the church is really hemorrhaging young adults. So recent studies have shown that about half of all young Americans who are raised Catholic no longer identify as Catholic today, and really roughly about 80% of that half have left before the age of 23. So those who are in their 20s and 30s are really wrestling with big life questions of who they are and what they want to do with their life and what they believe in. And sometimes young adults will seek those answers in the wrong places. So YCP is really unique in that we provide a community so that when young adults are working through those questions and striving to define who they are and what they believe in, they can be surrounded by people who are going to support them and walk with them through their journey, through all the highs and lows. And I think now, especially more than ever, post-pandemic, because we as humans are literally made to be in community, which we can see modeled for us through the Bible. I mean, Adam had Eve and Ruth had Naomi and Jesus had his apostles and so on. But now is the time to continue building that community and really seeking out authentic and virtuous friendships and encouraging one another to work and witness for Christ, that we can reach even more people in our country and really let them know how much they are loved and supported by God and by others.
Becca, you mentioned those alarming stats, and they really are concerning. How does it make you feel when you look at those numbers? We're talking 50% of young Catholics are leaving the church that are not Catholic anymore, and 80% leaving by 23. What can we do about it? How alarmed are you personally as the president of the local chapter in Chicago of Young Catholic Professionals?
Yeah, as a young person, it hurts. Like, it really hurts, especially someone who has given up everything to do this, to work in ministry, and really just to see Christ rejected almost every single day. It's hard. And yet I'm here because this is what Jesus started 2,000 years ago. And, you know, I want to be a part of that movement. And I've seen truth, beauty, and goodness, and I've encountered Jesus in a really, really beautiful way. And now I can't go back. You know, once I've been able to encounter him in that way, my life has changed forever. And now it's like I have received so much blessing and so much love from this person that I don't even deserve to receive this love from, that my cup is so overflowing, I can't help but share that with other people. That I don't deserve to keep it all to myself. I want to share that with other people as much as possible. So any ways that we can do that, whether it's through YCP or through my work at the Newman Center, I just want to share Jesus with people. It's bringing me joy, and it's just a comfort to know how much I'm loved, and now I want other people to experience that as well.
Becca, do you think that what's really going on is that the culture, the mainstream culture, is evangelizing our young people to a great extent, and they're not being influenced by our faith the way that they could be if they were involved with a group like yours?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, what makes YCP unique is that we get to reach individuals that, you know, maybe won't get an opportunity to be reached in other ways. So this is why we partner with parishes, because our goal, a lot of times people can see us in competition with other young adult ministries. Certainly in Chicago, there's so many amazing things happening for young adults. But really our goal at YCP is to fill the pews of the parishes with young adults. And so we want to serve as that bridge for parishes to partner with them to support their ministries. So YCP in particular, our mission is unique in that we get to reach young adults that a parish may not have access to. So think like a non-Catholic or a fallen away Catholic who one might work with or be a coworker for. They might necessarily be as eager to attend an event at a church than they would a networking happy hour at a bar, which is one of the events that we host. So we're able to offer a real entry point for young adults that could lead to trust building or a desire to further invest in the community by attending other events like that we put on. So maybe eventually they'll reach a point where they're really interested in learning more about the faith or going deeper in a way that YCP's model isn't necessarily equipped to provide for. So that's when we can connect them to a parish community where they can really take advantage of other spiritual formation opportunities that are happening there. So we just want to serve as that bridge to encounter people where they're at, and in particular way in their workplace, to invite our coworkers to events and then really start building those relationships that could potentially lead to an encounter with Christ and a real conversion of heart.
We're joined by Becca Sire, the president of Young Catholic Professionals Chicago Chapter and the director of campus ministry at UIC. Becca, let's talk a little bit about your patron, St. Joseph. How providential in this year of St. Joseph that St. Joseph is the patron of young Catholic professionals.
Yes, oh, we love St. Joseph. He's so great. Just a simple man who was truly living out virtues, serving his family. I mean, there's so many virtues that, yeah, obedience and prudence and humility. And so we really look to him as one who was giving it all, his all in work, and really, yeah, like our motto, working in witness for Christ, and in a real way, working in witness for his son. And so we look to him for inspiration on how we can do that as well in our own professions.
What about some of the events? Can you talk a little bit about the events that can help attract young people of all types, depending, not, it doesn't matter where they are in their spiritual journey?
Sure. Yep. So we host monthly events, including the networking happy hours, like I mentioned earlier. We do executive speaker series where we bring in older Catholic professionals to share their wisdom about how they've been able to work and witness for Christ for their own particular profession. And then we have executive panel discussions where we really break open a particular virtue, especially some of the ones I just mentioned with St. Joseph, to just start imagining how we can continue to grow and live out that virtue in the workplace. And really, all of these events are different entry points for young adults who might be at different places in their spiritual journey. So as I was mentioning, a non-Catholic or a fallen away Catholic might be interested in an event like a networking happy hour, especially if they get invited by a fellow coworker. And then maybe someone who is interested in hearing a talk from a well-known executive, or maybe someone who's extremely successful in their particular industry, they might come to one of our executive speaker series events. Or, you know, kind of the final end of the spectrum is you might have someone who is totally bought in and ready to learn the practical ways that they can work and witness for Christ. So that person is going to be really professionally and spiritually fed at one of our executive panel discussions, where they can start to take the theory and really figure out how they can put it into practice within their own profession.
Young people can be fed, can work and witness for Christ, and at the same time have a good time and network, and you never know who you're going to run into that might actually open the door to a new business opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Personally, you know, you're able to grow in your own relationship with God and meet other young Catholics who are also growing. And you get to learn several ways that you can work and witness for Christ as a missionary disciple at work in your particular city. But then you're right, professionally, you know, you get to meet young Catholics and maybe even some older Catholics from a wide variety of professions and be able to network with them and make some connections that might help you down the road. And just to give a personal example, a good friend of mine who's a YCP leader from another chapter actually just recently applied for a job, and we both came to find out that the person whose job she was going to take was a former chapter leader from the YCP chapter that I'm currently president of here in Chicago. So it was a total small world moment, but I was able to send that person a text and recommend her based on the connection through YCP, and she got offered the job. So you really never know who you might meet at our events or through the YCP community and where that connection can lead you in the future, either personally or professionally.
I love it. My wife always reminds me that it's a small Catholic world, Becca.
Yes, it really is.
Definitely.
Yes.
In the minute plus that we have, a little something about what the Chicago chapter of Young Catholic Professionals is doing these days.
Yeah, so we continue to have our monthly events and really are striving to brainstorm ways that we can just continue reaching out and spreading the word about YCP, particularly here to the young adults in Chicago. But we are really excited about our upcoming events, which is going to be a networking happy hour at Offshore Rooftop Bar at Navy Pier on Monday, July 12th. It's going to start at 6 p.m. So if you're in the Chicagoland area and in your 20s and 30s looking for community, good time, and want to network, we'd love to have you come and celebrate and network with us. And you can find the registration link on our Facebook page at YCP Chicago.
YCPChicago.com. Great to talk with you here this morning. It's very uplifting to hear the wonderful work that's being done by young Catholic professionals. Becca, it's been a joy.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me. Please pray for us, and we'll be praying for you guys and your ministry as well here at Relevant Radio.
Thanks so much. Becca Sire, the president of Young Catholic Professionals Chicago Chapter and the director of campus ministry at the University of Illinois Chicago. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Danielle Bean, the brand manager at CatholicMom.com, who will talk to us about money. We're going to talk about money. She'll share with us 5 personal financial rules that are good for everybody. There's much more to come. Stay with us on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Morning, 3 minutes after of the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this feast of the birth of St. John the Baptist. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we're going to have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about money. Money. Are you a financial mess? There are some basic ideas about ways that we can think about and manage our money that can apply to every one of us, even those of us who are not exactly financial geniuses or Dave Ramsey disciples. And now joining us is Danielle Bean, who will bring us five personal financial rules that are good for everyone. Danielle is the brand manager at CatholicMom.com. She's a speaker on a variety of subjects related to Catholic family life, homeschooling, marriage, and motherhood. She's also the mother of 8 children and lives in New Hampshire. Good morning, Danielle. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you to talk about money.
Thank you so much. It's a wonderful opportunity to get to chat with you this morning as well.
Well, Danielle, first of all, what is your philosophy on money as a Catholic mom? How do you approach finances?
Yeah, this is something I've always had a mixed kind of relationship with. I think many people are actually afraid to talk about finances. They don't want to face the financial truth of the situation they're in, or they're not sure how to manage it. Oftentimes we have mixed feelings of kind of shame or guilt about the ways we've managed or mismanaged our money. So this is a topic I took up on a recent episode of my podcast, Girlfriends, because I hear from listeners all the time that want me to do a show that's focused on finances, but I realized I was avoiding it because I'm not a Dave Ramsey type. I'm not a financial guru, but I thought there are some basic principles with regard to our financial lives that apply to everyone, good basic principles that I wanted to share with people. And really, the first one was get the facts. And this is the thing that many of us, especially if you're struggling financially, want to avoid. We kind of want to put our heads in the sand. We don't want to face the facts about how much we make, how much we spend, what the difference might be between those two things. But beginning there with the basic information can be a very freeing thing.
Before we get into your five rules, your tips, how have some of these tips that you're about to share with us, how have they helped you personally to manage your own finances?
Yeah, I mean, that's really how I kind of put this list together, was I thought about what are the things that have helped me along the way? What basic things have I learned? And always through the lens of my Catholic faith. So, in the end, I think these are basic rules that can apply to anybody's financial situation, but there have been things that have helped Dan and me, my husband Dan and I, through the years to figure out some of the basic things. You know, like I shared, this isn't something either of us feels like we're particularly called to or have a particular gift with, but we are all called to be good stewards of the blessings that God gives us. So on a very basic level, every one of us is called to pay attention to our finances and pay attention to the ways in which God wants you to manage the material resources that He gives to you.
And there is a ton of stuff on money in sacred scripture. I mean, our Lord talks about it. There's references to money in the Old Testament, the New Testament. There's much that we can learn to have that Catholic faith lens that you described.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, sometimes going through and reading some of those scripture passages where our Lord talks about money, but then also where our Lord talks about always, He's always calling on us to trust in Him and to be at peace. And how many times is that the opposite of what our approach is to money? We're not at peace about it, and we're not trusting in God's providence. He knows about all of those things that you need. He even says that much. He says, you know, your Heavenly Father knows you need all of these things. He's asking you to choose Him and His kingdom. Seek Him and His righteousness first and foremost. And I think sometimes just getting that much of your house in order helps all of those other pieces to fall into place.
Who's the spending thrift? Who's the frugal one in the family?
I think it's so funny because it, you know, I think couples really are set up that way. And for sure, I'm the more frugal person. And it can be a great source of conflict in marriage. But recognizing what our tendencies are, I think is very helpful because there's no right or wrong about that. There's really a happy medium between those two extremes.
I love it. We're on the same page. My wife says that I hardly ever spend anything. So I guess I'm the frugal one in the family. So let's get down to those five personal financial rules. So you started to mention getting the facts. So mention all five of them first, and then let's take each one one by one.
Sure. Okay, so first, get the facts, like I mentioned. Then ask for help. Number three, talk with your spouse. Number four, acknowledge the ways that you're wounded. And then finally, number five, give it to God.
Okay, now talking about getting the facts, how important is it to get those facts, write them down, and have some clarity in what we're trying to do with our finances?
Yeah, I think that this is so vitally important. You need to start here, especially if you are avoiding financial information in your life. If you are just, you know, just paying the minimum payments on your credit cards or just, you know, getting by or barely getting by and not really looking at the details of how you're doing that. I think that really, like I said, we're called to be good stewards, and you're not going to be a good steward if you're not aware of what's going on. And I can understand the hesitation, the fear. We have a lot of anxiety about these issues sometimes, and sometimes you have deep sense of shame about where we are financially. We feel like we should know more, we should be better, we should have been a better manager of our money in various ways. But, you know, there's a saying in the 12-step programs that you're only as sick as your secrets. And I think that applies in our financial lives as well as in many other parts of our lives, that the truth is freeing. The truth is healing. You need to lay bare what is going on. What is your state of things? In what state is your house in? And you can start from there to begin to make a plan. And there's really a great sense of relief and freedom in doing exactly that.
We're joined by Danielle Bean, speaker, mom, and brand manager for CatholicMom.com. We're talking about five personal finance rules that apply to everybody. Talking about getting the facts, part of that, I believe, is a snapshot, a budget. How important is having a budget so you know where you're at?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes we think that needs to look the same way for everybody. Like maybe you tried a budget program or you bought a book and you tried to follow a program for a while and you kind of fell off the tracks. You know, maybe that wasn't the right one for you. You know, find what works for you, and you can create your own system if you want. But you know, find what you're actually going to be able to stick with. But yeah, you're exactly right. A budget, what that does is it gives you that snapshot, you know, day by day, week by week, month by month, and then finally year by year. So you can kind of see where you are, see where you might be headed, see what adjustments you might need to make inside of your financial life or the kinds of decisions you're making before you find yourself in a place where you're completely overwhelmed.
Your second suggestion, ask for help. How important is that? Maybe getting a financial advisor, somebody that really knows that can help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And a really important thing to do. And so many people hesitate to do this most basic thing. And why? Because they're ashamed. Because they feel like they should know more than they do, or they're ashamed of the state of their financial situation. But there's so much that you can learn. There's no shame in not knowing something. Find out somebody who does know it. You don't have to be a financial expert, but you can connect with somebody who knows more than you do, who can kind of guide you along that path. Finding a financial advisor that you trust is a great place to start. Maybe you have a friend that you know that is particularly good with money. Ask them for a little bit of advice. Ask them what their system is and ask them for some support. I have a good girlfriend who is suffering, going through some terrible trials financially together with her husband and her family. And she told me that she reached out, and it took a great amount of courage for her to do, to a sibling of hers who she knew was a very smart money manager, and that it was such a great relief to her to be able to confide in this person some of the things that they were struggling with and then make a plan together for getting out of it, for fixing the situation, for moving forward in a positive way. So there really is a lot of freedom to be found in taking that step. It requires humility. It requires honesty. It requires a great deal of courage sometimes. But in all parts of our lives. When you need help, you need to make that move to ask for it.
And how about number three? Number three of the five personal financial rules, talk with your spouse. How important is that, the two spouses be on the same page? Again, my wife always reminds us that when we got married, our bank accounts also became one flesh.
Yes. Oh, yes. So vitally important. I'm a big fan of couples having shared bank accounts. I know some people get married and they keep them separate. And I think that that's really a powerful way for you to recognize you're on the same page. The two are becoming one flesh, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and yes, financially. So that's really important for us to recognize the fact that you need to be on the same page with your spouse. And you can't be on the same page with your spouse if you never talk about finances, which is actually the case for a lot of people. They want to avoid conflict. They don't want to, you know, face something square on that perhaps they have anxiety about or that they're worried about. But yes, I don't encourage you to go in, you know, seeking conflict or go in with a battle mentality like you're going to fix your spouse because they're the source of your financial woes. But have the conversation. Don't avoid it because it stresses you out. You are a grown-up. You are married. You are married to another grown-up. So have that grown-up conversation about money. And, you know, some people like to have a weekly kind of check-in on finances, and I think that can be a really helpful thing. But if you're not there yet, that, you know, start where you are. Just start by having the initial conversation like, hey, I'm concerned about this part of our financial life, or hey, can we sit down and just look at how much we're making and how much we're spending and see what that snapshot looks like. Begin that conversation, and then, yes, follow up by making sure you have regular times and spaces in your everyday routines where you are talking with your spouse and, you know, just bringing them into that conversation. Some couples have one person who's pretty much, you know, either the more frugal one or the one who's better with money, who handles everything, and then the other one's always kind of in a shades of mystery about their financial situation. That's not a healthy thing. You need to, even if one person's going to be the primary responsible person for your finances in your marriage, you need to be having that conversation. You both need access to the information about your finances.
Four and five in our final minute, acknowledging ways that we're wounded and also giving it to God.
Right. Those two go together. So for sure, many of us are wounded inside of our approach, our perspective, our relationship with money. Recognize how you were raised about money affects how you feel about money. And look at some of those basic maybe prejudices or stereotypes you have about money, being rich or being poor, what those thoughts are and where they come from. And then whatever your situation, God is always calling on us to trust in Him, to trust in His providence, to give it to Him. If you're struggling financially, if you're worried about finances, if you have a small or large anxieties about your financial situation, God wants you to go to Him in that need. So do that together with your spouse. Bring it to God. Tell Him that you trust in Him. Lay it before Him and ask Him to tell you what the next right thing is to do.
Danielle, thanks so much for being with us here this morning. Great tips. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. God bless you today.
God bless you too. Danielle Bean, brand manager at CatholicMom.com and a mother of eight children. And now it's time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Forecaster Got It Right. Maureen Flavin Sweeney, who's 98, received a special U.S. House of Representatives honor for her part in World War II. As a young woman at Blackside Lighthouse in 1944, she forecast an impending storm which changed the timing of the D-Day landings. The morning of June 3, 1944, the day she turned 21, Maureen dispatched a weather report from Blackside Bay, a bay of the Atlantic Ocean in Arras, North County Mayo, Ireland. The barometer showed pressure was dropping rapidly, indicating a major Atlantic storm was due to arrive. Later that morning, she received a phone call from an English woman asking she please check, please repeat the report. Examining the barometer again, Maureen confirmed that a storm would indeed hit the English Channel June 5th. Unbeknownst to her at the time, this was the initial date chosen by Allied Command for the invasion of Normandy, an operation that required clear skies for air support and calm water to ensure the safety of water-based landing craft. Based on the reading, General Dwight Eisenhower postponed the D-Day landing by 24 hours. The Sweeney family had been recording the weather every hour throughout the war. They sent their observations to the Irish Met Service in Dublin, which were then forwarded without their knowledge to the headquarters of the Allied Expeditionary Force in England. This hourly reporting continued until an automatic station was brought in to line, and Bell Mullet in 1956. Only then, in 1956, did Maureen learn about the history-changing events their reports had contributed some dozen years before. This past Saturday, she was presented with an award by the U.S. House for her role in the war. Her skill and professionalism were crucial in ensuring Allied victory, and her legacy will live on for generations to come. That the writing of Congressman Jack Birdman, the highest-ranking vet to serve in Congress. Her son, Vincent Sweeney, said his mom was proud of her influence, but primarily happy that she got it right. While the death toll on D-Day was big, it could have been a lot more were it not for the report from Europe's most westerly weather station. Matthew 8, 24-27, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. Men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him."
Be not afraid. Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, just email us at morningair@relevantradio.com. Coming up in the next hour here on Morning Air, Archbishop Bernard Hebda, the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, will explain to us why it's so important for priests to gather in presbyteral assemblies. And Father James Kubicki will join us to talk about the solemnity of the birth of St. John the Baptist, the big feast that is being celebrated all around the world. Do stay with us next hour. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.